to us. And so we'll read the text without comment, but encourage you also to be a commentator for what that text means in your life. From Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth, chapter 5, verses 14 through 21. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creation. The old is gone, and the new is here. And all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and then gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us that message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This ends our text. You may be seated.
I was thinking about that, those range of emotions during the family message time. Those were a range of emotions that come to my mind as I come up here today. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to prepare our hearts and our minds for what you would have us learn through this message. In Jesus' name. In today's scripture reading, the Apostle Paul uses a word that perhaps we don't hear or use too often, or maybe just not enough. Reconciliation. It's a big word, 14 letters long. Probably never see it in Scrabble. Do any of you play Scrabble? Reconciliation means reuniting. It means bringing together again. It means mending fences and forgiveness. In 2 Corinthians 5:19, Paul tells us what reconciliation means from God's point of view. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. God mended the fences between us and him through Christ. God mended the fences between the whole world and himself in Christ's death and resurrection. What a beautiful gift that all this represents. Along with this gift, God made each of us Christ's ambassador. We are Christ's official messenger. Our assignment is to speak this message, this gift of salvation, to others. Our assignment also includes repairing any broken fences between ourselves and others. Let me give you an example of how reconciliation fits into my life. My father passed away a number of years ago. At that time, I had trouble dealing with my uncertainty about whether he went to heaven. My anxiety was compounded when later I had to tell my sons that their grandpa was perhaps not in heaven. Since then, I prayed daily. I have prayed daily for those members of my family who do not have an active personal relationship with Jesus. I pray for their reconciliation with God. I also pray that fences would be mended between our estranged family members. It grieves both my wife Donna and I deeply as we work at keeping our fences in good repair. Both of us are also encouragers of reconciliation within our family, especially where there are deep hurts and broken hearts. We each work at keeping our lines of communication open amongst all of our family members. And we know that in the end, it will be God doing the healing in each of our relationships. That's what reconciliation looks like for me. Now, how about all of us? Over the next 3 minutes, I would like us to confide honestly in Jesus and invite him to shape our hearts while each of us silently answers the following questions. Where do I have joy about what Jesus is doing in my relationship? Where do I have discomfort over broken relationships? And who is Jesus drawing my attention toward? Let's keep those answers in the back of our minds as we continue on. So why do we hunger for reconciliation? Because it is good. Reconciliation is unity. Open fences that are in good repair invite neighbors to greet each other and visit and develop relations. We want hearty relationships built on friendship, as with a brother or sister or parent. My sister-in-law, Lori, while growing up, truly tried her parents' patience. At age 40, she suffered a brain aneurysm. It left her side partially paralyzed. She has aphasia, which is a difficulty with cognitive skills and expressing herself. After her recovery, her initial recovery, her mom and dad invited her to come live with them. That was 20 years ago. Since then, her mom, Gloria, has gotten older. She's 89. But they both still live in the same home. Their relationship is more than just that of a mother and a daughter. It's an enduring relationship. They look out for and support and give purpose to each other's life. We also want strong relationships built on respect and trust, as with a spouse or a close friend. My wife Donna and I have been married for 45 years. She is a daughter of God, and I love her very much. During our first year of marriage, we had disagreements over money. My money, her money. But we also realized that we did not want walls to go up between us. So we knew it had to become our money. And through that, we had to build faith and trust that we would be responsible for our finances. We know what it is like to have healthy relationships. And when we don't, we hunger for reconciliation. So what does it look like if there is an absence of reconciliation, namely no reconciliation. There's profound sadness and pain and isolation. Perhaps a splintered relationship, as with a son or a daughter, a grandchild, a niece, or a nephew. Our 17-year-old niece Kaylee ran away from home. Shortly thereafter, because she had some of her mother's checks, she stole a large sum of money from her mother. And then she broke off all communication with both her mom and her family. While Kaylee was away, her mom and our family suffered with the sadness and uncertainty that came from not knowing where she was and whether she was safe. The absence of reconciliation can touch a school classmate or a coworker. The breakup of a family can put a classmate into the midst of pain and confusion over the devastating decisions of their parents. Without reconciliation, we end up carrying burdens and hurts like those just described. So what promotes no reconciliation? Why don't we mend the broken fences in our lives? Because we can get stuck on that first mountain on the mural over there, unable to move forward due to fear of failure, or we hurt so bad that there's no space for risk. We're allowing the law to have control. Perhaps we have a damaged relationship with God due to unfulfilled or unrealistic expectations of Him. Maybe we are unwilling to surrender ourselves to God, resistant to walking by faith with Jesus. Or if a person has no relationship with God, the grace God wants to give is unavailable to them. These conditions are some of the obstacles then that keep us from pursuing reconciliation in our relationships. So what has God done about this problem of no reconciliation and broken fences? 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin, that is Jesus, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is God calling both us and all who live in this world to accept his gift of Christ's death and resurrection for the forgiveness of our sins and the opportunity to be right with him. This gift and opportunity presents us with a model for hope. Let me repeat that. This gift and opportunity presents us with a model for hope. But God has given all of us free choice, and not everyone responds to the invitation. Some are simply not ready to surrender their hurt to God. We have to remind ourselves, God will not force us to accept Him, and we cannot force another person to accept our offer of reconciliation. So who does the healing that mends the broken fences in our relationships? Notice the two persons in this picture. Perhaps the taller person is Jesus. He is patiently mending the apparently endless length of fence that is running through the green countryside of our lives. Jesus is calling us to no longer live for ourselves, but for him. And perhaps the shorter person is any one of us. We've responded to Jesus' compelling love for us by coming and surrendering ourselves to Him. We have so much to learn from Him about mending fences, about reconciliation. So what can we expect if we take to heart this invitation to be reconciled with God and with others? We can expect certainty, firmness in our being loved and accepted by God. This certainty gives us hope. And we can expect to become new in Christ Jesus. Our old self has gone. Our new self is here. This is newness of life. This is the life that God very much wants us to experience with Him, a reconciled life.
I would like to invite Eric Boto to come forward. Some of you may remember this name if you've been around long enough, say since 1996 until, 10 years or so. The name Eric Boto, you may go, oh yeah, that's like, isn't that someone we know? Eric is from Liberia, but he was a missionary in Ivory Coast when Ron and Mary Holscher's daughter, Tamara, was there. She came as a missionary, and Eric was in a refugee camp and made connection with Tamara, and as a result, Tamara said, this is a young man worth investing in. And so we did. As Beautiful Savior Lutheran Church, we supported Eric for many years, 20 years, basically. I mean, he has taken what God has given to him, and he has seen it for the blessing that it is. And he just wants to express his appreciation for the part that we have had in his life. And we also express our appreciation for taking that gift and using it for a way that God is being glorified, honored, and multiplied. He is working at a seminary right now, teaching in South Africa. And he's been in South Africa for a little while, with a wife and two children. So let's welcome Eric this morning.
Thank you, everyone. I become emotional when I stand here because I feel at home. From the age of 14 to where I am today, the beautiful Savior transformed my life. It was through your effort, your prayer, your resources that I am who I am today. And I'm on the way to receiving my second PhD because of you. I was a refugee with no hope. Lost my father, went through tough time, and you sent a missionary to preach to us, bring the gospel. And here I am today. I'm evidence to watch your resources, your prayer, and whatever you think and do. And I'm grateful to each and every one of you who stood with me for the past 20 years. Thank you all. When I stand, I don't know what to say, but it is God's will. And thank you to each and every one of you.